This is Polar Voices. I'm Kelsey Gabrowski. Ecologist Ken Tape was floating down the Colville River near the northern edge of Alaska when his field crew passed by a massive exposure of frozen soil. The ice was old. This permafrost, as long frozen soil is called, formed more than 10,000 years ago, during the last ice age.
They think this was a yedema, which is a really old type of Pleistocene permafrost.
Exposures of Ice Age permafrost are rare in Alaska, and locked inside them are clues to the past.
It's a vertical face of frozen soil, but mostly ice, really ice-rich soil. And of course, everything that's melting out of it are species that were present, you know, over 10,000 years ago.
In the midst of unprecedented changes in our present, ancient permafrost deposits like this provide a glimpse at what life was like in the past. But relics of ancient animals and plants aren't the only things locked up in permafrost. The structure of ice can also trap and store large volumes of methane. While some of these methane-bearing frozen soils still exist on land, others have since been flooded by rising seas. Jennifer Frederick, a postdoc at UC Berkeley, explains.
Okay, so methane hydrates, they're kind of like ice that holds a large amount of natural gas, so methane.
That is, ice that can burn.
They're found all over the world, under the seafloor, along continental margins, so at the edges of the continents, under the ocean. But there's these special hydrates that are found in the Arctic.
During the last ice age, the sea level was lower. As the continental ice sheet started to melt, the rising sea flooded coastal areas, submerging the permafrost and the methane locked within. Now, that permafrost is thawing, and methane is escaping into the atmosphere.
So we're looking at how these Arctic hydrate reservoirs, what the potential they have to release methane gas, which is a potent greenhouse gas, and the Arctic has a lot of natural methane sources, and we're trying to tease out where these sources are coming from and how they might affect global warming.
In Sweden, permafrost above sea level is also at risk. Lund University researcher Margarita Johansson studies the impacts of climate change on permafrost in subarctic Sweden. The big concern is that as permafrost thaws and releases its huge stores of methane into the atmosphere, it will cause temperatures to rise even more. Predicting the impact of increased warming in the Arctic is a major part of Johansson's research.
But I have basically been simulating the future snow conditions, because for permafrost, air temperatures and snow are super important.
Some scientists predict that warming will cause more snow to fall in the Arctic.
Because snow is like this big down duvet in the winter.
Snow insulates the permafrost and keeps it warmer in winter months. Johansson conducts experiments in northern Sweden to try to understand what happens when there's more snow on top of the permafrost. This part of Sweden is considered subarctic, the area directly south of the Arctic. The landscape is highly susceptible to the impacts of climate change because it's at the margins of Arctic conditions. Johansson and her team set up snow fences to catch the blowing snow and let it pile up.
We started that manipulation in 2005, and in 3 years' time we had already made a mess.
Johansson's team compared the fenced and unfenced plots, and they discovered that the ground under the snow fences was significantly warmer during the winter and began growing new kinds of grasses in the summer. But the effect of increased snow in the Arctic may vary from place to place. Johansson says if snow sticks around into the early summer, it reflects sunlight and heat back into space, potentially keeping the ground cooler in the spring and summer. University of Florida postdoc Marguerite Moritz is conducting a similar experiment near Denali National Park in Alaska.
And actually the projections for future climate change show that the biggest changes are going to occur in the winter, because the winter is most sensitive to small changes in temperature.
Bonanza Creek Long-Term Ecological Research Station manager Jamie Hollingsworth helps the Florida team get to and maintain the site.
The permafrost here is much closer to that thawing point, so it'll take a lot less of an increase to change it from permafrost to not permafrost.
The top active layer of soil thaws every year. But as permafrost thaws with climate change, the active layer gets deeper. The snowdrifts trapped behind the fences create a thick, insulating blanket over the ground. Former field tech John Kropek joined the team to remove that extra layer of snow.
Right before things should start melting out, which was not the case last year. We shoveled at the beginning of April and there was snow until June 1st.
Elizabeth Webb was the University of Florida grad student researching the site when Marguerite Moraes took over.
So in the soil, you've got microbes, which are mostly bacteria and some fungi as well. And they are breaking down, we refer to it as carbon, but it's like basically dead plant material. And so the soil microbes can eat the dead plant material, and then they sort of breathe out carbon dioxide. And that is what we are studying.
Talking about carbon can get complicated quickly. When scientists talk about carbon here, think of it as a little like the water cycle. Like water, it seeks balance, but is also constantly moving, in the air, underground, inside animals. Sometimes, carbon gets stuck in what's called a carbon sink. Other times, it's a byproduct of a carbon source.
If the microbial decomposition is greater than the plant growth, then you'd have a source, and if plant growth is greater than microbial decomposition, then you have a sink.
Arctic researchers are well acquainted with the phenomenon of Arctic greening. As the active layer grows thicker, more plants will be able to grow. Because plants use and store carbon dioxide, they remove that form of carbon from the atmosphere.
And so people think that that will be, for a while at least, a dominant mechanism across the Arctic. But then the question is, how long will it take before the microbes catch up with the plants and before that deeper active layer results in way more carbon being released because of decomposition?
Permafrost is integral to many northern ecosystems, but scientists are still teasing apart the lasting effects of climate change on this frozen soil. There are so many variables, such as the balance of carbon sources and carbon sinks. Then there's the amount and timing of snow Johansson describes. Our understanding of the change that happens and will happen depends on researchers figuring out all of these unknowns. Johansson says she originally got hooked on understanding the Arctic during an undergraduate course at a glaciological station in Sweden.
So then I got really enthusiastic about this sort of Arctic environment, and I thought, this is what I will do when I grow up. Beautiful surroundings, but also, of course, because it is issues that really matters. Whatever I've chosen to do, I've always wanted to be able to explain to my grandparents, why am I doing something? So, and then I can easily say, you know, this is important because, you know, thawing permafrost, then we have this release of greenhouse gases, and of course that will enhance the, you know, climate warming even more.
To hear more of the voices featured today, or to listen to more episodes of this program, visit the Polar Voices page at thepolarhub.org. Polar Voices is produced by the UA Museum of the North in collaboration with the Arctic Institute of North America as part of the Polar Learning and Responding Climate Change Education Partnership.